Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Record Rangers podcast. My name's Gavin Berry, and once again I'm delighted to say I'm joined by the Sunday Mail's chief football writer, Scott McDermott. We'll look back over Sunday's Scottish Cup semi-final win over Hearts 3-1, which booked Rangers' place in the final of the Viaplay Cup final against Aberdeen on December 17, the chance to get their hands on the first trophy of the season. And Philip, come on, Scott, after just a few weeks in charge, what a turnaround. Five games, four wins, and a draw away to Sparta Prague in Europe. It's been quite the start, hasn't it?
Very, very positive, Gav, you have to say. Really good impact. And I think the most impressive thing is that, from Clement's point of view, that he's done it quite quietly. No, he's not singing for the rooftops. He's not getting carried away. Very measured in everything he says. Keeping players' feet firmly in the ground. But you're right, there has been a real positive impact since he came in. Steady progress, I think, in terms of performances. And he's basically won all the games that he had to win. I mean, there was pressure, obviously, on him and the players getting into Sunday for obvious reasons. He'd won a couple of league games. He'd got that draw away in Prague in the Europa League. But, I mean, this was the one that he really had to win to get to that final, because nothing else would have been good enough. And they won it. I have to say, they won it relatively comfortable with a really good performance and some good goals. So, listen, he's just about ticked every box so far. It's just a case of him and the players keeping it going now.
Yeah. Amazing. I mean, and you do see it. I mean, we've seen it time and time again in football. You know, I mean, you're dealing with the same players, you know, and they can just look like completely new players, can't they? Just giving them a bit of confidence or wee tweaks here and there. But I suppose that's what you get when you appoint a manager like that. I mean, he's got a CV that shows his experience, and that's the difference between a rookie and somebody with experience like that.
I think you're right. And it might not reflect too well on the previous manager, Michael Beale, but listen to players' interviews just in the last week. I mean, they could go through them. Lundstrom on Sunday. We spoke to James Tavernier last Friday. Leon Balogun, I think, did post-match stuff as well. Mm-hmm. All of the quotes and all of the stuff coming from players is about how the mood has changed, things are better, things are brighter, things are more positive. And of course, that's what you want with a new manager, but it does make you wonder, how bad was it getting under Michael Beale? Probably from the outside, we're probably guilty of just thinking that, even when results weren't going well, you're not really thinking there's an issue there with the manager, because Michael Beale had been there before, he had relationships with a lot of these players. You just assume that side of it would never be a problem, but I must admit, listening to some of these interviews, as I say, in the last week or so, it sounds as if things weren't quite right behind the scenes, between manager and players. And whatever Clement has done since coming in, he said that he's made a real impression on this squad. As you say, guys that were guys that were getting forgotten about, Leon Balogun, probably prime example in the last couple of games, suddenly coming into their own. You look at Scott Wright, the impact he made on Sunday, even the captain himself, I think his performances have improved in the last few weeks. So you're right. I mean, I think Clement, he's got a bit of an aura about him. I mean, it's early days, but he does have a presence about him. I don't think he's the kind of guy you'd want to get on the wrong side of. Maybe that's what this Rangers squad needed at this particular particular time, but the players have certainly responded to him. As I say, whatever he's done, it's working at the moment. It's just whether they can keep it going.
Yeah, I mean, you're right in what you say about the players. I mean, I think John Lynch was one in particular. It was breath of fresh air, wasn't it? I think he said, yeah, breath of fresh air, and you were Balogun. And that's the thing that kind of surprises you a bit, is that, you know, these players were seen as being guys that were so happy for him to come back. You know, guys in the tavern, you know, that seemed to be the message that they all loved him, including Gerrard. And, you know, of course, there was that day that he turned up when Van Bronckhorst was still the manager against Aberdeen, and he was in the stand, and there was the pictures of him and sort of Conor Goldson embracing. And that was the thing at the time. It was like, oh, as if they weren't happy under Van Bronckhorst. And
you're right, yeah. But I think at the time on here, I mean, I might be wrong, but I'm sure that was one of the things that we flagged up that might be a negative about Michael Beale coming back. I mean, on the face of it, it looked like we knew the players, so it would be seamless, and you know, there'd be nothing to worry about on that score. Players would want him back. But I'm sure at the time we did say that a potential negative to that is, you know, is it just a kind of familiarity breeds contempt almost? And it was just like, is that what these players really need? A guy coming in who was their, you know, who was their pal almost, who was the coach, who was the guy they could speak to, and they did have these kind of cosy relationships with players. Now, listen, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but we can say this now that it didn't work out for Michael Beale and he's away. But you're right, it's hard not to think that way when you look at the interviews of these players and what they're saying, you know, what they think was required. And as I say, Clement is a totally different character for Beale. And it seems like, as I say, very early days, but it seems like he is what these players needed at this particular time. There's been an upturn in performances. I think there's actually been a change in mentality when you look at some of the performances, and, you know, digging the point out in Prague and winning late on against Hearts at Ibrox, even when the performance wasn't great. And then you take it into Sunday, as I say, when there was a bit of pressure on them. And they, you know, they met it head on and won fairly comfortably. So there's definitely been a change. As I say, I'm saying about Clement not getting carried away. I mean, you don't want to get carried away in terms of what they can go and do now for the rest of the season. There's still a long way to go. He's very quick to point out. I think he keeps saying he's still in the observation process, which I think is quite clever, just letting players know he's still watching them, still, you know, watching their every move, whether it be in training or in games. So important not to get carried away, but a hugely positive start for them.
So it was interesting reading Kenny Miller's column in the Sunday Mail, your paper at the weekend, and he was talking about Clement, the thing that impresses him. He was just talking about sort of Clement, the man, you know, just, you know, the way he's conducting, forgetting about tactics and everything else, just the way he sort of conducted himself. He even mentioned, you know, press conferences, you know, he'd been watching the press conference, just seeing the way he is, you know, and he mentioned the death stare, he says, I think he was saying, you know, he gives him a bit of, you know, he's got everybody on their toes, you know, a bit on edge. And I suppose, dare I say, he made the comparison, and others have, you know, a bit like Ange Postecoglou at Celtic when he arrived, you know, that kind. Do you see that as well?
I do. I think that the phrase Kenny used was about how he carries himself as a Rangers manager, and I think he's right. As I said, I do think he's got that strong personality, strong character. He's got, as I say, he's got a bit of presence about him. No, he's physically quite intimidating. And you're right. I mean, I've only spoke to him once since he came in, but you do, you know, you're on your toes in terms of you're as a journalist, you're wanting to ask the right question, because you feel as if, you know, if the question's not up to a decent standard, then he'll let you know, and he'll kind of shoot you down. I mean, even I think when I asked him a couple of weeks ago, I mean, it turned into a good answer and it was a good kind of headline, but we were asking about Jack Butland, and I just asked him how important, you know, in his successful teams that he'd managed, i.e. Genk and Bruges, you know, how important was it to have a really good goalkeeper within that team. And he just came back and says, "Well, no, if you've got a shit goalkeeper, you don't win trophies." And it was a great line, but just again, it showed he's just straight to the point. I mean, he doesn't beat about the bush. So listen, I think that's maybe just what these Rangers players have needed. Just a bit of clarity, a bit of, I think kind of dictator's too strong a word, but maybe just that kind of wee bit more of a kind of disciplinarian.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, it was interesting. I mean, we also asked him about Alex Ray in terms of being part of the backroom team. And one of the things that was interesting was he said that I'm not in the dressing room too much, so I need somebody who knows the dynamic of the dressing room and has a relationship with the players. And Alex Ray has that, or he's kind of fostered that in the few weeks that he's been in that role. And that was quite Postecoglou like, when you think of the way Postecoglou was at Celtic in terms of that distance he kept between him and the players. So again, you don't want to get carried away, but you're right, I do think there is a wee bit of that. And as I say, I think it's probably what this group of players needed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah. We used to see that about Brian Clough, didn't he, as well? And I think Martin O'Neill at Celtic was similar to, maybe took it from Brian Clough, that he would just appear. He would appear on the Friday. You know, John Robertson would do training, he would appear on the Friday, then the place would lift. So you talk about Clement then, and that you've only spoken to him once, and you're saying that maybe players were a bit too sort of palsy-wowsy with Beal. So in press conferences, was Beal different then? Did you sense? I mean, did you sense he didn't have that same sort of feel?
Just different characters, Gav. I mean, I wouldn't criticise Michael Beal for that. I wouldn't kind of label that as a negative against him. I think that'd be a bit unfair, but you can just tell he's a different character. A bit more laid back, a bit more relaxed. Maybe not quite as demanding or as relentless as what Clement seems at the minute. As I say, it's still early. We're still kind of getting to know him and getting to know how he works. The players will still be getting to know how he works. So, as I say, you're trying to make judgments very early. But I do think very different characters. And I think after Michael Beale, I think this is probably the type of manager that Rangers needed at this particular time.
Yeah, you're right in what you're saying, and it is very early, but obviously the signs are very positive. But I mean, I seem to remember when Michael Beale came in, some of the same things been said, the players aren't fit enough, and then people were all saying, oh no, we didn't think they were fit enough under Van Bronckhorst. Fans had detected that there was maybe an issue with fitness. So it does, it happens.
And listen, there's still massive tests for Philip Clement. In this group of players, and that's why it is important not to get ideas above your station, because I mean, I think that the thing that sticks out with Michael Beale for me was, remember they went, was it Hibs and Hearts away last season, when they blew Hearts away, or they blew Hibs away? I think they, both games they were absolutely scintillating, and everybody was just, it was Beale ball, and it was just everybody getting really carried away. But ultimately, when it came down to the crunch, the big games against Celtic and the cup final and stuff like that, that's where you need to go, that's where you need to go and make your mark. And to be fair to Clement, and it goes back to what I was saying right at the start, about keeping them on their toes and keeping them grounded. Immediately after the game on Sunday, he just comes out and says, look, they've done nothing yet. And he's right. I mean, it's a semi-final. A semi-final they're expected to win against an off-form Hearts team. Yeah. So, I think it'll be a far tougher test in the final. I was at the semi-final on Saturday. And no, kind of bizarre game. Hibs were by far the better team, better than Aberdeen. But you know what? See, being at the game and watching it, I thought to myself, even though Hibs were the better team and probably deserved to win on the day, I couldn't help but think if Rangers got to the final, Aberdeen would still provide a far stiffer test than what Hibs would. And yeah. No, I know that's kind of difficult to explain, but there's obviously that age-old kind of rivalry there. Yeah. Just the way Aberdeen play, they're a bit more stuffy, and Aberdeen showed brilliant resilience on Saturday to go over the line in that game and go and win it with 10 men. So that final is going to be
someone like Miovsky.
What was that?
And then someone like Miovsky. And then someone like Miovsky, they've got
100%. Aye, 100%. So I think the final will be really tough for Rangers. And listen, that's just one game. His first Old Firm game is going to be at Celtic Park, December the 30th, when he's going to need to take something for that game to stay in the title race. So there are far bigger hurdles to come. But as I said at the start, he's won every game that he had to. So he's done okay so far.
And let's not kid ourselves, where he's got an advantage over Michael Beale is he's not going to, he could have a trophy before he's even faced Celtic.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Michael Beale was doing so well and he was hitting a really good Celtic, under Ange Postecoglou. Celtic getting knocked out is an advantage. To get a trophy that early we've seen it over the years that the League Cup can really sort of galvanize. I mean, it happened with Ange Postecoglou and Celtic, in his first season, and it's happened with other managers. Getting that first trophy can really be the catalyst.
How many times have we spoke about Alec McLeish back in the day coming in and winning that League Cup? No, the league was pretty much beyond them, but he came in and won the two domestic cups. I mean, that was huge when you think back to what that did for that team and that group of players in terms of going on to win a treble the following year against a really strong O'Neill Celtic. So don't underestimate it, it can have a major impact. You're right, it has been an advantage Celtic are knocked out, but A, they still need to go and win it, and B, if they do win it, I think psychologically it can give them a huge boost. I think, as well as anything, Gav, it looks as if the players have a bit of belief in Clement at the moment, but see if he can get them over the line and they're actually lifting a trophy they've not won in 10, 11 years, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I think that just makes players believe in the manager, that he's got something about him. I mean, we spoke to Tavernier on Friday. I asked him about, obviously he was talking about his kind of trophy record not being good enough, and I just said to him, look, it's early, but do you just sense for this manager that he can be the guy to take you to trophies and get silverware? And I thought with Tavernier, he might kind of fudge his answer a wee bit, but he actually didn't. He actually said from the minute Clement came in, you could just sense that he was a winner. That he breeds winners. I think for players to sense that almost immediately, is a really positive sign for them. And listen, maybe when we spoke about potential managers coming into the place, Beale, and we're looking at different candidates and that, you maybe underestimated Clement just in terms of winning those titles in Belgium and he won cups as a player and stuff. Because it looks at the moment, as I say, it does have that real steely winning mentality that you used to associate with Rangers all the time, and it's probably been missing for a number of years. And if Tavernier's right, players have picked up that and have sensed it and have taken it on board, then I think it bodes really well for them the next few months.
I mean,
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I read your piece with him about the trophy haul and it's not enough trophies, and it is a funny one with him because he has been you know, he's played for the club for such a long period of time, and the start of his career, you know, I mean, no other Rangers players from any era played in the lower leagues with Rangers, because it was the first time they were ever down the leagues. He obviously then sort of gets the captaincy, but he's up against, you know, I mean, when they're back in the top league under Warburton, they're up against Brendan Rodgers, Celtic. So rarely have the two been, has it been such a mismatch? And obviously they got closer and they won the league under Steven Gerrard, but still, even just before Clement came in, Tavernier gets so much stick. You know, people point to him as being the problem because he's been a captain throughout this era. And then you see what he did on Sunday. Is it unfair, you know, on him for people to blame him? Is he to blame, or is it the others around him?
It's a tough question, Gav. I mean, Tavernier is a total conundrum, I think, at Rangers. And I've probably kind of flip-flopped back and forward with him over the years, no, because at times you watch him defensively and he doesn't cover himself in glory. He's been at fault for, you know, some big goals over the years. Mm-hmm. I've questioned whether he's real captain material. I don't think, this is just my opinion and speaking to people within the game, I don't think he's a natural captain in the sense of how we would think of a captain. I don't think he's that tight, but I mean, my God, if your kind of view on a captain is that it's somebody that kind of leads by example and on the pitch, you know, and digs you out of holes, I mean, that's something you can't label against him. I mean, he's done that so many times. I mean, listen, what you need to say about him is, for $250,000 or whatever he cost, he's been an unbelievable signing for Rangers. I mean, incredible. Now, you can argue back and forward whether he should be in the Hall of Fame or not. I think he probably should, for the reasons that you mentioned about, you know, coming up for the championship and the impact he had, and you know, winning title number 55 and stuff like that. But I think Tavernier himself would admit, and Conor Goldson's admitted this, you know, he said to us probably about a year ago, that, you know, to really consider yourself a Rangers legend, you know, and to rightly be in that Hall of Fame and be up there with the real greats, you need more trophies beside your name. I mean, listen, I don't know about if you went through every player in the Hall of Fame that's in there at the moment, but there'll no be many that's got as few trophies as Tavernier in it. One league title, one Scottish Cup. So I think the likes of him and Goldson would admit, or they do admit, that, you know, when they leave Rangers, to really be up there with the proper legends, I think, you know, they'll need more silverware. And listen, they've got time, and as we're talking here just now, we're talking about a manager that's had a really positive impact. So you would hope that in the next couple of years they can go on and add more trophies to that haul. But in terms of his goals and assists,
I mean, 111 for a fullback.
Incredible. I mean, I think I read this morning in terms of goals, he's now only a few behind Mark Keighley and Kenny Miller. I mean,
I thought you were going. Yeah, well, that's true. But I thought you were going to say there was another list appeared of top goal scoring defenders
in the world.
Ever. I couldn't believe Ronald Koeman's stats. It's all good.
He was brilliant at free kicks and penalties as well, Koeman. But as I say, I mean, I think I think the start this morning was he's like four behind Mark Keighley and five behind Kenny Miller. I mean, these guys are legendary strikers at the club.
See, one point that came into my mind, Scott, and I don't know, it's one that's maybe been, you know, it's maybe one that's been debated before, and I haven't seen it. It came into my mind for some reason when he was really getting stick, maybe just before Clement came in, or maybe just after, I don't know. And I was reading this stuff about how bad a captain he is, and he's the problem, and they need to get shot of him and all that. And I was thinking, God, if you take his contribution out, you know, where would Rangers be? And I just thought, is he just, how unlucky is he to be captain in an era when he's up against a dominant Celtic. And the one that came to mind was somebody like Paul McStay. I thought, how is Paul McStay remembered, you know, at Celtic? He was captain. Okay, admittedly, and I know you'll probably come back and see this well, he won a lot of trophies before he was captain. But from the moment he was appointed captain, from was like 1990, I think Celtic only then won that Scottish Cup with him as captain. Yet he's remembered as a great player and a Celtic legend. But as a captain, I mean, from 1990 until he left Celtic, I mean, were the problem, was he the problem, or was it everybody around him? And it made me think whether it's similar with Tavernier. Is it the fact that the other players aren't up to his level, you know, rather than him being the problem?
No, I mean, I think it was the players around him. You need to say that. I mean, Paul McStay was a fantastic player. There's no denying that. I mean, listen, it's a great point because it's something that I hadn't really thought about. But I mean, I think you're right. I think you can draw comparisons. Yeah. I mean, I think there are slight differences in the two. I mean, first of all, I think as captain, you talk about, you know, people thinking that Tavernier, you know, he's not a great captain, no fit to be captain. And I think that has been labelled against him for different reasons. I think people look at his character, his mentality, and, you know, daft stuff. Like, remember the controversy over the programme notes before the game against Hamilton Accies? Stuff like that hasn't helped him, whereas I don't think that would have ever been, you know, labelled against Paul McStay. And the difference was Paul McStay was a dyed-in-the-wool Celtic fan, you know, Scottish, and, you know, grew up supporting the club and all that. So he's different to Tavernier in that sense. Yeah. I also think, you know, the difference in positions, obviously, Tavernier being a defender, you know, again, it might sound like a small point, but no, he's been culpable for goals. A couple of goals against Celtic. No, poor defensive performances. People automatically look at him as captain. I think it's a bit different for a midfielder like McStay. And also, you touched on it there, but I mean, McStay does have, you know, things behind him, like being part of the Celtic centenary team that won the league, stuff like that, and being part of that brilliant team at that time. I mean, Tavernier's probably a wee bit unfortunate. He doesn't really have that. I mean, he clearly, you know, winning that title a couple of years ago was massive for Rangers, and no one will ever forget that. No one will ever forget he was the guy that lifted the trophy after everything that he'd been through.
Yeah.
But it obviously felt a wee bit different, you know, with no fans there and stuff like that. And as I say, I think McStay's probably got a bit more. A bit more in the bank in terms of we Celtic fans, but you're right, it is a good comparison. I think you do need to say for both of them, you know, for the spells that they have had as captain and no winning stuff, whether that be McStay in the 90s where Rangers are going on to 9 in a row, or whether it's been Tavernier up against a Brendan Rodgers team or a Postecoglou team, Rangers made mistakes, you know, with managers and stuff like that. Been unlucky in that sense. I think when you look at that, you do need to say, no, it's not his fault. He's been part of some poor teams with some poor managers.
Yeah, so, well, exactly.
But it's a really good comparison.
Yeah. Moving on to, well, in fact, let me just make one more point about Sunday. So when we talk about Clement strength, you know, being very kind of no-nonsense. He takes off Cantwell at half-time. Cantwell on a booking. I don't know how you felt he was playing. I've heard mixed sort of reviews of how well Cantwell was playing during the game. But Clement did say after, you know, he was worried the Hearts players might irritate him, maybe try and get him seen off. So he didn't mess about, took him off, and then Scott right on. Proved to be inspired.
It did. The big call. I mean, certainly, I wasn't expecting that change to happen at halftime. I mean, the booking obviously does have an impact on it. But, you know, even then, I still think Rangers are going to try and win the game. Still a big call to take Cantwell off. Now, arguably, your most creative player, you know, and a real kind of fans' favourite, obviously. I mean, with Scott Wright coming on, I would have thought that You know, the easiest move for Clement to make would be to take Lammers off, play Scott Wright on the right-hand side, and obviously move move Cantwell into the middle. And that's where I do feel sorry for Cantwell slightly, in that there's been a few big games now where he's been stuck out on the right-hand side. I mean, I think back to the Old Firm game at Ibrox earlier in the season when Michael Beale stuck him out there and basically asked him to do a kind of defensive job on Dyson Maeda and try and help Tavernier at right back, and it really stifled Cantwell in terms of his kind of attacking play and his creativity. Yeah. So I feel for him a wee bit in that sense. I don't think Lammers played great again on Sunday, but Clement seems to fancy him, Gav, for whatever reason. He's played him in almost every game. He lasts long in games, or he certainly has in the last few weeks, even when he's not played that well. I don't know whether Clement, I mean, I've not looked at it closely enough tactically to see maybe Clement sees something in Lammers in terms of the structure of the team, or in terms of his kind of, you know, his work rate, what he's given them off the ball. But certainly on the ball, I don't think Lammers has given them enough at the moment. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. So I thought the change would have been Lammers coming off, Cantwell shifting inside. But you're right, it was a big call. It proved again, you know, he's pretty no nonsense when he decides on something. You know, he'll do it. He'll be decisive in that moment. And you have to say it worked a treat. I mean, Scott Wright came on and had a fantastic impact on the game, you know, in the second half. So again, you know, you're talking about getting off to a good start as a manager. No, things like that need to go for you to have a positive start. No, you need to get substitutions right and changes right. And you think back to, you know, Michael Beale. Was it the League Cup final? Michael Beale left Raskin and Cantwell.
Yes.
Rangers were two down. It has an impact. Rangers kind of get a goal back, but it's too little too late. Well, key decisions, big moments that didn't go for Michael Beale in terms of his decisions. But as I say, Clement has started well, and that change at halftime on Sunday was just another example of that.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Yeah. Another point that's come up since the cup finals, Scott, Aberdeen will ask for a half of Hampden, or they will certainly ask for the opportunity to sell half of Hampden, maybe tickets sold in such a way that if they don't sell them all, then they can hand them back. I don't know how possible that is in terms of segregation. I mean, it's an argument that comes up any time Rangers or Celtic are playing one of the other ones. You know, Rangers fans will argue, well, they've got 30,000 season ticket holders, you know, Aberdeen's average attendance is whatever. Then the flip side is, well, it's a cup final and it's a neutral venue and it should be fair. What do you think?
Listen, I understand Rangers and Celtic fans' argument when it comes round to this, as it seems to quite regularly. I mean, I get all the arguments about it, but I'm sorry. I mean, it's harsh, but when you get a cup final, no, it has to be a 50-50 split as long as the other team can sell the tickets. Now, as I say, as you've said, no, you can argue about average attendances and all that. I get it, of course I do, but it's a national cup final. Both teams are there as equals. And I think whoever it is, doesn't matter the size, no, whether it's Aberdeen or Motherwell or St Johnstone, I mean, it doesn't matter if they can sell half of that stadium, if they can sell the tickets. I mean, listen, if they can't sell them, of course, they should come back and they should go to the other team. You know, you want as many supporters there as possible. You know, people to go and enjoy that day supporting their team. But I I don't think, as I say, I can see where people are coming from, but I just don't think the argument stands up. When it gets to a National Cup final, it has to start as a 50-50 split. If the other team can sell the tickets, so be it. If not, get them back. And as you say, try and work out the segregation that you get. The other team can take advantage of that and sell all the tickets. But I just think it has to start. I think it's the easiest way. I think it's the most common sense way of doing it, even if that is harsh at times on Old Firm supporters.
Yeah. Incredible to think 23 years since Rangers and Aberdeen played in the cup final. And God, when you think back to those three epic finals in a row in this competition in the 80s, but I mean, that was it. Those three in the 80s, and then the two in 92, 93 when Rangers won the treble, and then that one in 2000, and then that's been us for 23 years.
I know, it's amazing. As you say, I mean, growing up with those finals in the 80s, it seemed like Rangers Aberdeen was like the norm in finals. I mean, you remember more Rangers Aberdeen finals probably than you do Rangers Celtic. And even the 93 one you're talking about, that was a treble season for Rangers, obviously, but you almost forget about that game just because it was at Celtic Park for some reason. You don't see it as Hampden. But and then obviously, as you say, the Scottish Cup final in 2000 with the famous Jim Leighton incident, Robbie Winter's getting a goal. As you say, I mean, 23 years since we were last in a final. God, talk about feeling old. Jesus. But I think it'll be a cracker. I think it'll be tight.
Yeah.
Really good occasion. It was interesting. Aberdeen, Barry Robson obviously moaning after the game on Saturday about playing Eintracht Frankfurt on the Thursday night. I think Rangers are away to Betis.
But also I couldn't understand. I heard that clip and I couldn't understand his point. I know that Michael Beale and Lee Johnson before he was sacked and Brendan Rodgers at the weekend, you know, I've had a dig over SPFL schedules, arranging, Celtic had to go to Dingwall on Saturday and then they're away to Madrid for their European game this week. But the one thing you can't point the finger at the scheduling is a cup final. These cup final dates are set in stone, months, a year in advance. The finals are set, so they can't arrange a cup final around teams that may or may not be, how do they know who's going to be in it?
There are also, this, because you've done stories on it so many times, there are so few dates available in the diary that, when do you play the cup final? No. These dates have pretty much been set in stone. They change 1 year or 2 years, maybe because of the World Cup or whatever, but I mean, they've pretty much been set in stone. And then I think about Rangers, was it the Scottish Cup or the League Cup? When under Van Bronckhorst, Rangers played Celtic, they went to extra time. They'd been off the back of Braga away in the Europa League. Yeah. Extra time. I mean, they were running on empty, but that's the schedule. I mean, if you're competing in all these different competitions, then that's too far for the course.
Well, I actually had some sympathy. I think there are times when the SPFL don't help themselves. I think around the time when Rangers were going to, trying to get to Europa League final, remember was the argument. I think they had it was Motherwell away, wasn't it, on the Sunday when they might have had the first leg of the semi-final, I think, later. And they ended up moving it back to the Saturday because Rangers had complained, or Van Bronckhorst had complained. Those are ones that I can understand because they know that Rangers might be in a... if Rangers are in the quarterfinals and they get through, they know that they'll play the semi-final there and they were post-split fixtures, so they can say, well, if in case they get there, we'll make it. You can do things like that, but not a cup final. I mean, the cup final is arranged ages in advance. So, I don't get his point there.
But the interesting thing is, Barry Robson's moaning about being at home to Frankfurt on the Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Looking at Aberdeen's group, it looks as if...
It's a dead rubber.
Yeah, they're going to be out of contention.
Yeah.
That's the last game. I mean, if that's the case and they're out of Europe, I mean, listen, you don't want to get embarrassed by MD, especially at home. But, I mean, he could literally play second string against Eintracht Frankfurt. No, he could play kids. It won't really matter when you've got a cup final in 3 days. Whereas the flip side is Rangers look as if they're going to be in contention. No, and wouldn't they want to be going away to Betis needing a result? But they might. No, and Clement's going to have an issue having to go to Spain. Was he going to need to play his full strength team for 90 minutes and then have to rely on them again? Well, you wouldn't be resting players for that European game ahead of the cup final, or maybe you would, I don't know. So I actually think Clement's going to have a bigger headache come that week than Barry Robson. So no, I think, I think the build up to it will be brilliant. A game and an occasion to really look forward to. As I say, I think it'll be tight, but no, as we've said before, you just can't underestimate how important it would be for Philip Clement and these Rangers players if they could go over the line and lift that trophy.
Yeah, well, just finally before that, and we've touched on it there, will the Betis away game, will they be in contention? Sparta Prague this Thursday, Limassol at home after that. I mean, if they get 6 points, there must be a chance of 6 points that they could be there. But in terms of Thursday, first of all, Leon Balogun was talking about, that's him coming against, two games in a row now. He won't be able to play. He's not in the European squad. A bit of a thinly veiled dig from Clement at Beale. He's being a bit hamstrung. He didn't have Yilmaz when Barisic was injured. He didn't have Yilmaz for the away game. Now he can't play Balogun when he's getting him a wee run of games. Does it just highlight again the issues, and how the mistakes made under Beale?
I think it probably does. I mean, as harsh as that might sound on Michael Beale, it's certainly not helping. I think we've said before on here a couple of weeks ago, the Yilmaz one was bizarre. I thought to leave him out, you would always in a squad, European squad, you would always try and go two right backs, two left backs. And I know Yilmaz was maybe had a knock at the time, I was injured, but I don't think it was ever a long term thing. But instead, Rangers went into the European squad, basically three right backs and one left back in Barisic. So the balance wasn't right. I mean, obviously, Balogun, with hindsight, now, Clement will be wishing that he had been in the squad. I think there are others, like Tom Lawrence, for instance, who's just came back. I don't think he's in the Europa League squad either. I don't know, I need to check that. But he's obviously coming back into the fold, and Clement looking to get him game time. So, it's a wee bit of a headache for him. Obviously, you'd expect Ben Davies to come back in at left centre-back for Balogun, and I thought Barisic did well at the weekend, so he will obviously, you would think, keep his place at left-back, even though Dujon Sterling is now back and can fill in there. So, no ideal for him. When you think of the momentum and wee bit of continuity with Balogun coming in and playing really well, so he'll need to kind of shuffle the pack again. But whatever team he puts out, I think... I expect Rangers to be strong enough to beat Sparta Prague. I mean, it's a tough game, but I think it is the key game in this group. It's at home. Fans are going to get into it in a real high. You'd expect a full house. No, we are at home next, as you say. You can really go and essentially secure qualification by winning these two home games, you would think. So just another massive game for Clement, but as I say, at least they're getting into it with real, despite the issues with the squad, at least they're getting into it with real confidence and belief and with the fans behind them. And normally at Ibrox, a big European night, when they've got that, then they normally get a positive result.
Yeah. Tell a lie. Sorry, I think I found a story here. No, Lawrence and Roof were actually included. Balogun, Yilmaz and Dowell left out. I found a story September. So I actually Lawrence in it. Anyway. The rest of the points still stand. So, thanks again, Scott, for joining us. Covered everything you could do. And we'll hook up again next week. Maybe Andy will be back from his well-earned break by then.
He's still on holiday. Jesus. Still. Unbelievable.
Right, thanks.
Cheers, Gav.
Cheers, bye.